interrupting the current neo-uronial, climate-challenged, behaviorally-controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, here for nuclear-glowing, we're very close, postulated cricketism, to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM605. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you get behind the woodshed, and it's always been pretty much that simple. So the matter of getting behind the woodshed, and going to take a little bit of energy, the point about not being a spectator, remaining free, is a little bit energy intensive when you finally decide to. But the source of the energy shouldn't make you feel 60 when you are 30. Scientists investigate negative impact of energy drinks. I almost read past this article, but there's interesting things within it. So the combined effects of nicotine and energy drinks on the bodies of young people aged 18 to 20 have been explored for the first time by a student from V.I. Razumovsky, Saratov State Medical University, or SSMU, under the guidance of her tutors. Quote, I study at a medical university with a heavy academic workload, so many students resort to energy drinks to stay awake longer. Smoking is also widespread among the young people, so I was curious to explore their combined effects, said Nicole Klokova, a third-year student at the SSMU and one of the study's authors. According to the researchers, the combination of these two harmful habits leads to premature aging and increases the risks of cardiovascular disease. The results are presented in the Week of Russian Collection. Energy drinks are extremely popular among young people today, and their consumption is expected to increase by 2.5 times by 2029 compared to the start of this decade. It is well known that they negatively affect human cells, increase the thyroid hormone level, and raise calcium ion concentrations. However, until recently, the extent of the damage caused by combining energy drinks with nicotine was unclear, the researchers noted. We'll keep track of what we're talking about here, because it gets into an interest, what got me interested when I finally went to look at it, because I passed by this one, and things started to pop up just a little bit. As you understand what I've been doing behind the woodshed, telegraphing the notice to us ahead of time, what is going on actually maybe behind the scenes, or at least to keep out a lookout for that. In her research on the negative effects of energy drinks and smoking on young people, the scientists from SSMU observed increased blood pressure and heart rates alongside elevated cholesterol levels. They also identified markers indicating liver and pancreatic cell damage. I would advise young people not to harm their bodies just for an extra 2 or 3 hours wakefulness because of the consequences, if not immediately, will be inevitably catch up later. These effects can be irreversible. In 10 years, many feel the impact of their habits, and at 30, their bodies might resemble those of 60-year-olds. So now listen carefully to this next paragraph, because I smell a cat fox cover-up nearby. She emphasized that every year cardiovascular diseases are becoming more common among young individuals, making it essential to avoid harmful habits that increase the risks of strokes and heart attacks. Yeah, sure. What else has recently been shown to increase the risk of strokes and heart attacks? Just recently. Do you see how the record is being stuffed so that in the future no one will be able to definitively prove the jab done it? Becoming more common among younger individuals is not limited, presumably, to college students. Except, on the other hand, we can assume all of these students got jabbed, and likely with the Sputnik V adenovirus vaccine shown in the West to cause myocardial infarction, reported in EED in young adult recipients, and cerebral venous thrombosis, or CVT, which a blood clot forms in the veins that drain blood from the brain, with persistent headaches and seizures, which may mimic other neurological conditions such as migraines and epilepsy, or vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia, or blood clots generally. she emphasized that every year cardiovascular disease are becoming more common among young individuals, making it essential to avoid harmful habits that increase the risk of strokes and heart attacks. The study's results have significantly predictive clinical value and can be used to prevent the abuse of energy drinks and smoking among Russian workers' working populations, said Galina Yuridova, senior lecturer at the SMU and the study's lead researcher. So let's all blame it on drinking and energy drink or smoking and energy drinks at this point. According to Yuridova, future research will delve deeper into the effects of ethanol, nicotine, and energy drinks on young bodies. So there you have it. The great Kobe Swindle jab at warp speed is already a distant memory that has been deemed safe and effective and beyond question. So there is no reason to consider the bioweapon as part of any study in the future. Yeah, I smell a cat box cover-up right here. Also not found is that the nicotine can help eliminate the effects or as a prophylactic, and I've heard from a couple people that it worked for them in that regard, though the study here would indicate your mileage would vary certainly on the journey through this, so understand that, obviously, that these energy drinks alone, a long time ago, I got one once to see what it was all about, but I couldn't continue. It was really, the taste was just terrible. But I couldn't believe with all the hype that all those energy drinks tasted so bad. So being a crash test dummy every once in a while again for myself, I got me another one, but a different brand. And you know what? I don't know how y'all drink that nasty tasting double boiled toil and trouble chemistry. I just don't get it. And the little bit I could tolerate, that ain't energy. That's a short circuit in a can. Big time. I really don't know how y'all do it. I've seen people just guzzle this stuff. Anyway, word to the wise. An article I passed by here the first couple times I saw it on the list. Wasn't interested. It doesn't get... Remember, this stuff doesn't get to you today. It sneaks up on you and clubs you in the head like a baby seal later. The negative impact of energy drinks feels 60 when you are 30. And thinking about that, some of my listeners may want to feel like you are 60 again. Got me thinking, no, wait, what? But never fear. 60 will soon be young again. Also from the Russian health officials, perceptions of aging are changing rapidly in the modern world, the head of the Federal Medical Biological Agency has said. The boundaries of what we consider a young adult could soon be increased to 60 years, the head of Russian's Federal Medical Biological Agency, Veronika Skortsova, has said. She made the suggestion during a season of the Congress of Young Scientists in Moscow on Thursday, which was dedicated to discussing ways of attracting more young people into the field of science. In April, Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin announced that in 2023, the life expectancy in the country had grown to almost 73.5 years, the highest in history. Russia's government plans to raise the life expectancy in the country to 78 years by 2030, and the number of older citizens is growing. The current retirement age in Russia is 58 for women and 63 for men. By 2028, these will have increased to 60 and 65, respectively, in line with the 2018 pension reform. According to the Ministry of Health, every fourth person in the country will be over age 60 by 2030. Last month, Russia's health ministry, Mikhail Murashko, said that the average person has the ability to live up to 120 years. Quote, it's genetically embedded in a human, he insisted. However, in order to achieve such longevity, one has to engage in disease prevention and pursue healthy lifestyles, Murashenko said. So there's hope, folks, if you live in Russia. Pension reforms were the answer to longevity all along, apparently. Who would have thunk it? But the rest of you, you're going to die. That's how that's going to work. Now, when I get back to saying, being free is not a spectator sport, leave those age-accelerating energy drinks behind. It's about to get a lot tougher to be free. These things came up through the news this week as well. This is going to be difficult, and I notice people just focus on certain aspects, but this is a complete tough grind coming ahead. And I say that not to wear you out already, but just to set the mind forward, if you have any inkling at all. Mind, body, and spirit. So let's don't get focused on one or the other. Start looking at all of this because it's going to be very important. And this next list from an ex-post isn't even new or that you haven't heard here behind the woodshed either. But I think it's a decent partial summary for anyone that watched a quick short list on the vulnerabilities that we have and where to begin to cut the ties of the world as this government is now turning up the steam, if you will. They're locking it down, and it's already been happening. The meetings and the planning have already been done and agreed to. And so it's just an implementation. So make sure, as I'm going to give you this link in the blogcaster, but make sure you see the video clips for further explanation of what's caused a deeper thought for the poster called Hosun Chung, where he writes, Mark Andreessen just shocked the world on Joe Rogan Experience. He revealed that the government is kicking people off banking networks, using NGOs to do their dirty work, and secretly trying to control AI. Now, I read that list, and okay, so for me, and maybe for those of you that listen behind which, that list is really kind of weak, except start tying it together. Start putting it together, what you've been hearing. Now, I've mentioned NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are in your civil rights. And it's ordered already before we even get there that no non-governmental organization can restrict or limit the impositions of your civil rights, which is taxes and punishments and pains and all this other stuff I keep telling you to go read at 42 U.S.C. 1981. And so you start looking at not a very impressive list, except when you understand how it ties together. And this has been in works right now. So Hosun Chung states, I took a day to digest it all. It's a much longer 3-hour video. I didn't go through the video, but I did look at the shorts. And there's at least 11 things that stop Hosun Chung to think about. And he made some lists. I think it's a really important list. Like I said, it's a short list to start looking and focusing and watching. Be aware, if nothing more, not just to watch, because you're going to have to take action here or be absorbed by this thing. And it's going to be very difficult to avoid. I mean, as I was reading these things through, I'm thinking, well, what do I suggest to myself even to avoid these things? And it's going to be very, very, very difficult unless people start taking on what I've been saying about making yourself more reliant on yourself and members of your own community, if I could say so, the people that are thinking similarly than you. But let's go through this list really quick. 11 things here. The AI takeover plan. The Biden administration has been secretly meeting with AI companies. Their message was chilling. Don't even bother starting an AI company. There will be only 2 or 3 approved companies and we'll control them completely. Here's what Mark Andreessen says on the video, so I'm just going to go through what he writes here, but these are comments that are being made, and remember I've been talking about this as well. So again, it's not like you haven't heard this. But this is coming as a more, not just an idea, oh, look what you can see here. This is actually more confirmation from somebody who worked in these meetings and just was blown away himself by how far along this is and how quickly it's going to be moving. And comment here, this isn't speculation. These were actual closed-door conversations. And you'll hear that in the video, which I couldn't ever convey. That's why I decided just to read the list here. So number 2, the control mechanism. They're using something called regulatory capture. I need to interject, I guess, in some of this. Remember, this is what RFK Jr. was talking about. He talks about all the time, regulatory capture. And he proposes to be someone who's going to stop all that. I'm going to caution you that was the phrase they used in order to get you to think he was going to stop it. I'm not so sure on any of this. And it's getting less and less. All that little bit of hope, the hopium I was having that we're still waiting for that checker jump, the Chinese checker jump right now, as he sets up this game board before he gets in, Trump does. But I'm not seeing that there's any way that he's going to be doing anything different than he did before, and in worse, actually. He did learn something, but it was how they're going to move. He's part of it. They're moving it to the next the next level. It's already in the work. But regulatory capture came up as a term here. Not unknown, but it was interesting that we heard that in the political stumping. That was priming people to hear it and to think that if someone comes out against it, that maybe that we can just close our minds and let them handle it. It's not going to be like that. The regulatory capture is going to be changed into monopolization. They're going to say they're destroying all these regulations to capture these companies, but they're actually going to monopolize the ones that they want. As we see, even in Helene in North Carolina, you didn't get to bring stuff in, or at least initially, you weren't bringing anything in unless you're an authorized vendor, right? This is what we're talking about right here. And he's seen it, and it's already in play. So this is why this became very important. Normally, I wouldn't do this depth of looking at these situations, but I think it's important for us to look at, start noticing how they come down. You're going to have to be able to not be part of the herd that thinks, you know, rah, 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 everything's working out great. I hope it works out better and great, but I'm not seeing it quite yet. And I don't see the organizational structures now of the people that would do it that haven't already tainted the works before they got there, notwithstanding what they're saying right now. Maybe they all got divine inspiration. I kind of doubt it, but I don't want to judge that against them, but I kind of doubt that it's going the way that they're saying. It'll look like it on the surface, but behind the scenes, it's already been determined. These words are not what you think they are. And he talks about Mark Andreessen, even in the shorts I saw, he tells us about that if you want to listen to those. He tells you there's a language that they use. It doesn't mean what you think it does. The government blesses here in the regulatory capture, the government blesses 2 to 3 large companies with a monopoly. In exchange, these companies do whatever the government wants. It's how they controlled social media. Now they want to do it with AI. But it gets darker. Number 3, the real threat. AI won't just control what you see online. It will be the control layer for everything. Remember Elon Musk's X being the everything app. And listen to the list. They tie this together. Who gets loans? He was talking about the X being a place where you're going to have money exchanges or token exchanges or things for funds and money. But who gets loans? What your kids learn in school. If your front door opens, what you're allowed to buy. Imagine China's social credit system, but 100 times more sophisticated. Just to interject a little bit there, that's the behind the scenes. It's so easy, folks. Just sign up and it just works. That's how they're going to lull people into it. Number 4, the banking weapon. The government has been secretly debanking people for having the wrong politics. An employee at Andreessen's firm got kicked out of their bank just for having crypto, the term crypto, in their job title. No warning, no appeal process, just frozen out of the financial system. And understand the importance of that sentence. I've been telling you this, the same thing. No appeal process, no due process whatsoever. You are the property. You don't have property. Without property, the government doesn't have to give you any due process. And this is, understand, this is through the corporations, which is that third-party liability I've been talking about for years. And so I hope you read this list. I hope you pick it up and think about it and see it's in play and connect up what I've been saying. Maybe even go back if you can find them and see what I was talking about, maybe some of the alternatives, what to look for, what you might actually engage. Roll your sleeves up and engage. When you see this stuff come out, you've got to go after it. You're going to have people that are willing to do it. Otherwise, it just rolls on over real soft and gentle. It's so easy, folks. And it's free, they say. So number 5, the secret classification. There's a government category called politically exposed persons, or PEPs. If you're labeled a PEP, banks are required to kick you out. Not a single person on the left has been debanked. Only those with the wrong views, and the pattern is clear. Number 6, no due process. There's no court, no appeal, no written rules. And Mark goes through how that's set up for us. Again, it's done through the third-party corporate liability that does not have to, is not having to be consistent with the Constitution. And I'm going to say that advisedly. There is a couple of situations. I might get to that here when we get near the end of this. The point is right up front. It's like these arbitration clauses. You don't have any rights. You don't get to go to court. There's no appeal from them. And the rules are kind of written, but not really. And you'll explain how they don't write the rules. It's this unsaid action that gets taken. It's understood. And this is really the worst and most insidious attack that you're going to have to face here. We really haven't seen that as a society, but here it's coming. And so I was interested to hear someone's articulating that. So your life can be destroyed with a phone call from a bureaucrat to a bank CEO. And it's already happened to hundreds of people, but here's where it gets truly Orwellian. Number 7, the NGO loophole. The government doesn't do this directly. They fund non-governmental organizations, NGOs, to do their dirty work. Why? Because the First Amendment prevents the government from censoring directly. These are their attack dogs. Number 8, the pressure campaign. These NGOs then pressure companies to censor speech, close bank accounts, deny services, and all while maintaining plausible deniability for the government. It's like hiring a hitman. Technically, your hands are clean. He said, where are we washing the hands clean from the crucifixion here as they work this thing through? The models are in the world. They're of the world now, and they're working against us. Be aware how this works. Again, I have not covered. I've covered all these things. This is a nice little list. I was actually, I can't say shocked, but I guess I'm interested that there was somebody concisely bringing it to us, which is another problem. Isn't this the notice? Maybe these people are working. You know, he was given the task to inform people, and this is how they did it through Joe Rogan's experience, which I'm not so sure about either. Again, all these people that come up and become millionaires or more really quickly, to my mind, are a question at least, very, very much a question. Number 9, the social credit future. The end game? A social credit system where your ability to participate in society depends on your political compliance. But unlike China's system, which is obvious, this one is hidden between layers of private companies and NGOs. Number 10, the critical moment. Mark believes we're at a crossroads. If Trump wins, there's a chance to dismantle the system. And I'll say, I'll just interject, yes, there is. I just don't see it at this point. There can be some things that can be done. I've already discussed some of it. I'm going to interject something I wasn't really going to talk too much about. I'll just mention it again. If they can get us back to the gold system, get us off fiat, get rid of the Fed, just repeal that act that institutes the Fed, adjust everything around the way it's supposed to be, we would go a large measure away from this whole thing because there's nothing to keep track of then. There is no income tax on the gold, so there's no income tax on your products of your life. All that gets shifted. Again, remember, and I hope if you don't remember, because you weren't old enough, none of us probably were, but if you haven't studied to remember the history of this, this country, the United States of America, did not have a tax system in its beginnings for a long, long time, and it worked absolutely perfectly well. Hosung Chung goes on to write, if not, we're looking at a future where every aspect of life is controlled by AI systems programmed with government-approved ideology. There's a powerful weapon against centralized control, the ability to speak truth directly to millions. The government can control a few big tech companies, but they can't control millions of individual voices, each with their own direct audience and influence. And so now Hosung Chung goes into a promotion of what he's doing, but I want to add something right there. It's not just your audience and influence. It's your actions. I may have an audience, whatever size that is, my listener, listen well, start passing the word, but your action, what you do from here out, the choices you make, the things that you advocate and protect in others are going to be what we are able to maintain. And if we're thinking clearly, it's different than the fiat type system, the illusion system, the control system. You have things set up to where they can't turn off your switch. Again, we haven't, anybody listening to me behind the woodshed has heard all of this, but here was a guy that's been in the meetings of implementation for it coming. It's already understood so well. They have their own language. They're not going to talk about it. It's unwritten rules. And you're not going to fight that part. There's not a way to fight it because you can't prove it. They just smile at you. And plus, they've turned off a switch of yours that you needed. So these personal bands of people, these coming together, becoming the most powerful force for maintaining being free, as free you can in a society, when enough people build direct audience, control becomes impossible. Note here from my mind when I read that, impossibility is a defense against government requirements such as insurance, where government monopolies deny someone. And you'll hear that example stated. They will just deny you the things of the law, so-called, the statutes say you have to have. It's what I've been telling you for a long time on how to find where the statutory, the savings clauses are to put you outside of that system and demand that they stop treating you as a commerce entity. It's not so easy. I can tell it to you easy, but it's not so easy when you're looking at a judiciary that is a commerce agent, and they likely won't hear a lot of this. This is where people are going to have to start rising up. Another thing is, as I said, understand about they wanted to centralize and decentralize and kind of obscure that. Gold and silver are the actual decentralized condition. Also, a truly decentralized crypto and private contracts are absolutely decentralized. But you, as you do, this thing comes down, but you can't let anybody know that you really know these things or that you use any of these things. It's not going to be so easy. Now, that's not going to be absolute. What I'm saying is that you don't lead with all this stuff that you are doing, because that's what calls you out to those that want to rat you out. And so this is going to be a very serious thing to deal with. So in these clips you'll see, and they're shorts on the post for the X Twitter, if you get that. Otherwise, run down that it's a 3-hour video clip. I don't have it for you, and I won't have that in the broadcaster. I do have the one to the X. But the observations of the video clips are the type of things that make the third party liability the serious threat I've been telling you about. And the government is planning to use the third parties to skirt that constitutional limitations that it has, which are they don't limit the private third-party corporations at all. And I've said that when the government has the power to create the corporate monopolies, then you cannot escape, so watch out. And if you don't have the things that they need, or you don't have to ask for the benefits they provide, that's going to be a big advantage for you all. So this is very serious. The more I read through here, the more serious it comes to me. It's a knowledge that you have to have, and you have to have it if you expect to be free of this stuff, and put yourself on the correct side of where you need to be, and that sets you up better to defend yourself. You're not going to be able to be doing any fighting when you got one foot nailed to the floor, and then you have to defend yourself. And I can't tell you how insidious this whole thing is. It's the first guy I've seen come along and actually seemingly sincerely explain it. Whether he's doing that as an agent to give everybody notice that it's here, or whether he's actually compassionate enough to tell people something he completely does not like. It sounds like he doesn't like it. I'll go with that. I'll give him innocence on that part. I'll presume that upon him for us and for himself. And if that's the case, that's even more a problem, because he heartfelt feels the imperative part of that. So now moving to the follow-up on the most important story in recent note in the Biden administration crawl toward nuclear destruction. Yes, I believe it's a possibility. I don't think it's just saber-rattling. I don't trust anybody in the government, so that's the problem. We're talking about hair-trigger finger-pushings that can go on. A couple of people get together and lose their minds, and we think there's safeguards in place, and they're not too well nailed down, and except your foot, theirs isn't, and off goes the mistake. And that's where everything's going. The White House, contrary to last week, the White House finally confirms green light for Russia strikes. And I want to look at this very carefully. When I read it real quickly, it looked like I was in error, but in fact, we looked at what they're actually saying, and I wasn't in error. And it makes it even more a problem, actually, the way this is working out. I just have to say again, I am grateful that there's someone like Putin running Russia right now. And the people he has around him that have forbear this stupidity that's going on at this point. Ukraine can use ATACMS, ATACMS, to strike in the vicinity of Kursk region, John Kirby has said. And so there it was. It's not a green light for deep Russia strikes. Go look at a map. Kursk is just a what they call it, oblast. It's like a small state, like a county of some sort. And the green light was given for the incursion, the invasion that Ukraine did into Russia, attempting to take the Kursk nuclear power plant. They have failed miserably, and it's a mop-up operation, and they didn't get their plan to be done. But here's where we listen very carefully. This is not for deep strikes. There's an anomaly in what happened, and so we got to pay attention to that, because that's leading us to understand the, again, what I said was the temperament, the temperance that Putin is bringing to this. But even so, he's still not turning around too quickly, but they've sent a message, which is a pretty amazing message, technologically as well. Washington has now officially confirmed and rumored a policy change following Ukraine to strike inside Russia using U.S.-supplied TACMS, ATACMS missiles. There we go again, the switch, Ukraine to strike inside Russia. But the first sentence said, only through into Kursk. Not actually that deep when you go look. Multiple media outlets reported on the permission earlier this week. While U.S. President Joe Biden and his administration remained silent, Kiev fired a volley of attackums projectiles at Russia's Bryansk region last Monday. That is just north of Kursk. It's not in Kursk. So this, keep track of this, and this is opening up a little bit of a window of tolerance here for us to see. I'm not trusting much of any of it, because they actually are poking the bear still here. And Kiev took a little license to shift what they were given. And I'm still waiting for the document signed that Biden said he actually did green light it. What Kirby says is they only allowed them to be used in Kursk. Still a violation, but much more limited than the report that we were told. That I called, if you will, fake news. I called it a lie. I called for the authors in the NYT, the editors there, to be whisked off to a small submersible, daily submersible island, the rock kraut cropping in the South Pacific. What they're doing is so serious, literally on the edge of nuclear winter. The National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told reporters in the White House in the briefing on Monday that Kiev is able to use attackums to defend themselves in an immediate need basis. We did change the guidance and gave them guidance that they can use them to strike these or particular types of targets, Kirby said, referring to the Ukrainian attacks in and around Kursk. What did they just say, though? It was up in Bryansk, in the next area, next oblast north, and quite a bit distance further in. Maybe that's where they got the 70 kilometers to 100 kilometers. The Kursk town is not that far in. So there's a bit of a hedging going on here in this story. You see them flipping and flopping as you read through this, you pay attention, you start to see what's going on to give us a sense of how close to that nuclear glow have I been talking about in my intro of this broadcast for, what is it, years now? This is all on the horizon. It's inexorably getting closer and closer. The upshot of all this, the report was wrong. It wasn't a deep strike authorization. There are no actual deep strikes. So what do we call fake New York Times authorship that is partially right? The attackums could be used to strike inside Russia, but leaves out the important stuff, able to avoid nuclear destruction and remove the ambiguity. It is a telltale sign of what the NYT is about as well. Last episode, I expressed a high skepticism that this NYT report saying that Biden had signed on to the authorized deep strikes with attackums. I also said that if it were true, and remaining silent as to the ambiguous brinksmanship with a nuclear weapon, peer nation was seriously stupid. STOOPID for those with sensitive ears. And the Biden administration must listen behind the woodshed, because the day after that broadcast, the White House comes out to clarify things, remove some of the ambiguities, and at least a couple of important ones. Like, as I said, the attackums could be used in Russia, but not carte blanche. At Leo Zielinski's incompetent caprice as a deep strike weapon, as it was intended. Now that the Biden regime did wait suggests highly that the U.S. government was in on the deceptive reporting as likely a CIA op, a PSYOP NYT is the intelligent agency mouthpiece, as we can study it for and see. This is all being seemingly confirmed to me through this, and it's a mouthpiece that doesn't mean peace in the least. And this week, after my suggestion that the ambiguity is a stupid thing to do, the White House clarified that. Yes, the ATACMS can be used, but limited to Kursk. Well, last I checked on the map, Kursk, Russia, is not deep inside of Russia. And they're deep. Russia is looking at deep. If they can touch Moscow or St. Petersburg, that's too deep. So that's not really deep either. But it's what the jewel is that the West would like to cause trouble for. And it would be the seats of power for Russia. So there's the absolute distinction for when Putin may act much more forcefully. So what has been allowed here outside of what has been stated is another lie, because the attack against Bryansk on November 19th is not in the Kursk Oblast, another oblast just north, as I said. So more ambiguity as the demented Biden regime continues to play the ambiguity game, with Kiev actually starting that by sending the missiles into Bryansk and not keeping them in Kursk. So there's a little, again, plausible deniability relative to Washington doing anything. The Kiev junta supposedly has told Kursk and no farther, and then redirects the missiles to Bryansk, but not much further into Russia then the missiles would penetrate Russia if sent to Kursk region, or that drones have gone here even deeper. So there's this very soft regulation going on. And I understand that the military people understand this soft encroachment, the soft signaling that's going on. I can certainly see on this one. And then we have the American media stopped here after that, referencing the Bryansk, and points only to two subsequent attacks in Kursk on November 23rd and November 25th. So you're seeing an adjustment going on to try and now focus it more to what Kirby is coming up to say, that they allowed only attacks for Kursk. The Bryansk just falls from the news cycle. So the American perpetrators sent the missiles into Russia, but within Russia's apparent understanding that the so-called deep strike missiles were still used inside a short-range distance, and Russia accepting that, and despite the unsaid part that the ATACMS technology requires United States direct participation when attacking Russia. And thankfully, again, the Russian acknowledgement that, in Lavrov's words, he says the fact that ATACMS missiles were used repeatedly in Bryansk region tonight is, of course, a signal that they want an escalation, that Russia perceives even an ATACMS attack outside of Kursk to be what the Biden regime wants, suggesting Russia will not give it the chance or upon terms favorable to USA, as it was also stated in the news, and in the eyes of the world against Russia, whom will not respond irrationally, in that this is a political design requiring a political response, such as was done in adjusting Russia's nuclear doctrine, not escalation, but with a measured response on the ground, as it just did, unveiling its new MIRV hypersonic kinetic missile system, destroying a missile manufacturing complex in Ukraine. So we're watching very certain messaging going on, and it's a better and more rational than Russia escalation toward nuclear confrontation, what the West wants itself. Russia, instead of nuclear temperance, saying, heck with it, they could, and they have it, thankfully, heck with it, see y'all on the other side of the great nuclear winter, if you survive. And where, if you do survive and maintain a nuclear capacity, as has just been expressed, again, consistent with the United States' stupid nature, U.S. Strategic Command Stratcom spokesman Rear Admiral Thomas Buchanan stated, quote, we'd have to have a reserve capacity. You wouldn't expend all of your resources to gain winning, right? Because then you would have nothing to deter from at that point. So that's what the United States is saying, again, with this ambiguity strategy, the tactic stupidity that they're doing. And Russia understanding that the game is not off at this, and there's these hypersonics didn't really do much in that regard, but this is a different tact. Then Russia's not going there with the nuclear. They could say that, but they haven't. And so at that point, then I guess we'll dance in the nuclear glow until you do not survive, is what I think Russia would be saying at that point. And on review of this new evidence submitted by the warmongering Biden regime using the lamestream puppet media as its mouthpiece, the judgment penalties proposed behind Woodshed against the New York authors of the Psy operatives here should face that for fomenting a nuclear war are granted, I think, in the court, from the court of judgment here, that they shall be transported to a small rock outcropping that daily submerges, and that either time or the first rising shark-infested tide take them, whichever is first, as will to do future justice as well, that the Smith Modernization Act of 2012 shall be repealed. And to get that done, very interesting, and thank you very much, a supporter of the broadcast has drafted a bill to be presented to Congress to do just that. It's a follow-up on the post request on an ex-Twitter from Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the document reads, avoiding fake news, it's a bill, submission, avoiding fake news, allegations, encountering misinformation, and unreliable of fact checking requires a multifaceted approach that combines transparency, credibility, and a critical thinking. And I might start here and say, committee, as the bill starts, a foreign affairs bill number, they'll apply that, sponsor whoever they wants to do the sponsorship on this. Maybe we could get Marjorie Taylor Greene to do something constructive real quick. Maybe she needs some encouragement. It's a bill to restore the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 and ensure transparency in United States government media and broadcasting. Be it enacted by the State and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Section 1, short title. The act may be cited as the Smith-Mundt Restoration and Transparency Act. Section 2, findings and purpose. We the people finding the following. 1. The original Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, also known as the U.S. Information and Educational Exchange Act, was enacted to direct the United States government information programs primarily toward foreign audiences and the restrictions on domestic dissemination. 2. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 amended the original act, removing the domestic dissemination ban on content produced by the United States State Department, Department of State, and the Broadcasting Board of Governors, now the United States Agency for Global Media, USAGM. 3, the 2012 repeal has raised concerns that the government-produced media intended for foreign audience could influence public opinion domestically. 4, social media and digital platforms have further blurred the lines, enabling widespread unintentional access to foreign-directed content within the United States. 5, restoring the 1948 provisions with updated guidelines for transparency and oversight is necessary to maintain public trust and prevent inadvertent government influence on domestic audiences. Section 3, repeal of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. A, repeal. The provisions of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act are hereby repealed. And I dislike the sound of that, don't you? B, restoration of the 1948 restrictions. The original restrictions of the United States Information and Educational Act of 1948 shall be reinstated, limiting the domestic dissemination of state-produced media intended for foreign audience. Section 4, definitions for the purpose of this act. 1, foreign audiences. As a term, foreign audiences refers to non-U.S. residents and individuals outside U.S. territories. 2, domestic dissemination refers to the distribution of availability of media content within the United States. 3, USAGM refers to the United States Agency for Global Media, which supervises various state-funded media platforms, including Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and others. 4, foreign audience material refers to government-produced content intended exclusively for foreign audiences. Section 5, regulations on domestic access to foreign-directed content. A, transportation in public access. 1, U.S. citizens may access government-produced media for foreign audiences upon request via public accessible publicly accessible government website. 2. This content shall be labeled as foreign audience material and include a disclaimer noting its intended purpose for the intentional international audiences. B. Clear labeling in digital platforms. 1. Any foreign directed content that may reach U.S. audiences, particularly on social media or digital platforms, shall be clearly labeled with produced by the United States government for foreign audiences statement label. 2. Digital platforms are encouraged to collaborate with government agencies to implement metadata tagging, watermarks, and disclaimers that makes this label visible on all digital media shared by USAGM and affiliated agencies. C. Best efforts in content management. 1. The State Department and the USAGM shall make best efforts to prevent domestic audiences from directly accessing foreign direct content. 2. These efforts should be documented and include coordination with the digital and social media platforms to reduce incidental U.S. exposure. Section 6, Safeguarding Standards of Integrity. A. Journalistic Standards. 1. Content produced by USAGM and other relevant agencies for foreign audiences shall adhere to standards of journalistic integrity and factual accuracy consistent with domestic programming standards. B. Independent Review. The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, shall perform an independent audit to verify the standards are met, assuring that content directed toward foreign audiences remains credible and non-propagandistic. Section 7, Limited Role of the Government Accountability Office. A. Compliance Audit. The GAO shall conduct a biannual compliance audit to verify the efforts of the State Department and USAGM in limiting domestic dissemination and properly labeled foreign directed content. 2. The audit shall focus on compliance verification only, without direct oversight of content production or distribution. B. Self-reporting requirement. 1. The State Department and USAGM shall submit a compliance report to the GAO biannually detailing steps taken to limit domestic exposure and maintain transparency. 2. The GAO shall audit these reports and issue a summary to Congress detailing the agency's compliance efforts and any recommendations for improvement. Section 8. Promoting balanced access to global information. A. Public access to foreign government media. 1. To promote balanced access to information, U.S. citizens may access foreign state-sponsored media through an online portal provided by the State Department to support a broader understanding of international perspectives. 2. The portal shall include a disclaimer that content is produced for foreign governments that may reflect those government interests. Section 9. Cost efficiency and budgetary oversight. A. Cost effectiveness requirement. 1. The GAO shall assess the cost effectiveness of the compliance efforts as part of its biennial audit. 2. The GAO report shall include any recommendations for improving budget efficiency and in the enforcement of this act. Section 10. Enactment. This act shall take effect 180 days after the date of the enactment. End of bill. So thanks, Excited, for this fine effort toward that. It gets it going, for sure. But let's see if the listenership can get behind Woodshed on this Excited initiative to repeal the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, which allows the government to lie and propagandize Americans, even to cause nuclear war. If you can understand how important this starts to become, what they've allowed themselves, that we need to get back control. And maybe my listenership can contact the district representatives near you to either pick up this bill for submission or for co-sponsorship or any that might already exist once they get there to it. I'm not sure what's going to happen on this, on how they get this, who picks it up first and runs with it. And then tell them a truthfully informed public is required to keep the republic, and you require their help in keeping the republic. And if they balk, well, you know them when you see them, folks. So if they balk at keeping the republic, you seize them and toss them out of office, replacing them with the representative that will keep the republic. Right, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene? Yeah, cool stuff. Thanks again, Excited. I appreciate the initiative there. And it is an initiative, I would suppose, right there, that, again, if we did this in the States, and that's where I want to think about that, you might want to take this as well and move it to the same people, but in the stateside. And why don't you then go out here with, run out and visit Excited's content and tell them the guy behind the woodshed sent you. Well, after the broadcast, of course, run around and go locate where he's at. It's possible that it's in Sound Mind's link tree. I'm not sure, but it might be there. If not, maybe Sound can put that in there as I'm thinking about it right here. But there's a link in the Vlogcaster for the Excited draft bill. I would hope all of y'all that have a thought about getting a lot less propaganda from the government and get their tentacles outside of our communication lines. If you're interested in that, maybe help get this thing moved along, get behind Woodshed with it, and inviting your own representative or the representative in the district about you live to join you in this, and see if we can get this thing pushed through. And as I think about this, I wonder if it could all be a state-based initiative, not just a federal, where they denounce the Smith Modernization Act of 2012. That it's repugnant and odious and unconscionable infringement to the people of the state itself, the people needing to be truthfully informed to fulfill their duty and obligations to keep the republic. And so that gives them another imperative for the put a reason in it. That may not be such a bad idea to put that in the bill, actually, just to, again, tell people what's going on, inform people why it was a bad idea the first time. And then you go from the state side, though, as well, too. There, you can let the state representatives and senators move it from there to Congress. At the same time, you hit them without the state initiative in the state, in the House and the Senate, at the federal level. So, again, if you see, lots of people could be taking different parts of this task and creating such like a pincer move. If a Congress critter or three are not interested in keeping the republic, but also they won't leave the office or before they are removed, we put a lot of pressure there. There's more people needed for that. You know, why did I say repugnant, odious, and unconscionable? Well, first off, you need a good reason to repeal. And that, I think, would actually cause that need. And that's part of an experience we had when we were looking at the legislature in 2012 in Oregon, putting those papers in before we did a lawsuit in 2013. There was a bill that went in, and somebody was able to summarily and concisely state how it was absolutely unconstitutional. That bill got immediately removed. And there needed to be a good reason, though, and a proof for it. So this is like the reverse. You want to repeal it. You want to prove that what's out there is, as I identified, repugnant, odious, and unconscionable. So, and the purpose is that it, the reason is that it undermines the need of the people to be truly informed, truly. Get the information. Second, the reasons also provide the notice. If you write that down in that bill, the reason and the purpose for the public being informed and truthfully so, that the future generations that look at this will know why it should never be allowed again. So I guess as I think of that through now, that'd be probably an adjustment I would make to that. But you don't have to put that in the bill necessarily to give it the reason and your cause. Again, a very important thing that they've done to us. They legalized lying to us, and this is a way to do it. Again, thank you, Excited, for putting that energy in. Nice to see. That's the process of that will be going into, if it goes in to get submitted, it will definitely get beat up by the other side. So you're going to have people that tend it, that keep the initial purpose together and it doesn't slip away. That's another thing we did see too. They got things that they also do, cut and stuff. They just take out the whole bill and they stuff it full of something else. You really got to be on the mind that inside the system. It can be a lot of work. It is a lot of work. But if we just sit back, this is going to continue. And my consideration is really on these very serious nuclear threats. And I'm really glad again that Russia's taking. I think they're a more temperate people. I think Lavrov said, they were asking about why the delay on certain things. He goes, well, sometimes it takes a long time to hitch up a horse. Then once you've done so, it's fast. So they have their way. They're looking at stuff, and you got to appreciate how that works. I've certainly been critical of the time that they've delayed certain things. but that's not for me to decide. So I do have back on this this story, this report about Lavrov's statement. Lavrov calls the use of the ATACMS in Bryansk region to signal that U.S. wants escalation. So you can see this is real stuff in the world. High-level diplomat. This guy's a big-level diplomat for Russia, the world-renowned, a lot of experience. It doesn't sound like a flake to me in the least. And I don't think you want his pit bull looking at you when he's got something that he needs to have from you, and he's right. So this guy's a lot of business to deal with. However, they're looking at this thing. I've got the statement. You can read it. It's not to tone us down. It's to understand how the Russians are taking it, and I think to more correctly give them credit for keeping nuclear conflagration to a hypersonic simmer at this point. He says, Lavrov says, you asked me a question. How do I know what the New York Times published is true or an attempt to test the waters? You know, I don't know. The fact that ATACMS missiles were used repeatedly in the Bryansk region tonight is, of course, a signal that they want an escalation, Lavrov told the news conference after a G20 summit in Brazil, meaning they're not looking at it as the existential threat necessarily that is the bottom line for Russia. Absolutely. And I also have the link for you of the United States side discussion from the United States Strategic Command Stratcom spokesman Rear Admiral Buchanan. So you can read the ASS's opinion assess the opinions of these lunatics who are taking every opportunity to create the conditions that they are prepared to respond to, ready to lead the world, the U.S. military prepared for nuclear strikes. I'd have to ask why. It's like Russia saying, oh, let's prepare for war with Russia. Why? You're just making this stuff up. Speaking at a Project Atom 2024 event at the Center of the Strategic and International Studies on Wednesday, Buchanan noted that such conditions imply that the U.S. will continue to lead the world. Quote, if we have to have an exchange, we're talking about a nuclear exchange here, then we want to do it on the terms that are most acceptable to the United States, which are namely to maintain a position where the U.S. is largely viewed as a world leader. Well, I think they've lost that already, Rear Admiral. The Admiral noted that the event of potential nuclear exchange, the U.S. would seek to maintain the portion of its arsenal to continue deterrence. Quote, we have to have the reserve capacity. You wouldn't expend all of your resources to gain winning, right? Because then you would have nothing to deter from at that point, Buchanan said. So these lunatics are leading the world to engaging nuclear war. Worse, thinking a nuclear war can be won whether or not your resources are expended is absolute lunacy. And this is the mindset these folks are walking in to look at what they want to do with Russia. And about the nuclear arms race that Russia may have jumped beyond here while the U.S. military drools on itself in the reflection of the demented Biden regime. Nuclear arms race with Russia and China will come at a cost for the United States. So that's right, a cost to the U.S. and you, the people, pay for it. These lunatics make it up and you're going to pay for it. And soon to be already planned outside of any property or due process rights as well. Much more controlled, as explained by Mark Andreessen. You add that element in on this. This whole thing is part of the plan to austerize the nation, bring it economically lower, much, much lower. So trust the plan, folks. What better way than by the military-industrial complex, eh? The wasteful military-industrial complex to drive it more quickly into the stands of the stinking abyss as well as the U.S. makes itself a threat everywhere. And then you pay for whatever wonderwaffen duds they make up to combat their ghosts. And then for some nations who are really tired of the U.S. antics and needing to stop the trespass against them and gearing up, right, to make more excuse for the military to come out and decide they need more money to do more stupidity. While the U.S. it hasn't even put a hypersonic weapon into a field, despite all the fiat they spent ostensibly to do so. In Russia, China, and Iran, and now India even, have these hypersonic devices. And they're not breaking their bank at all relative to what they're doing. And as far as I know, and looked around to find out. And then look at Russia. Look at what Hazel can do. It's nuts. You can just explain that a concerted visit by Hazel on a position yields the same destructive energy as a nuclear weapon without a nuclear weapon or detonation. Now, the name of the missile in Russian is Oreshnik. That means hazel tree, or hazel as she's been known now, to us English speakers. No, we don't speak American. We're so independent. We still speak the English. But anyway, Hazel is intercontinentally capable, though the first test was intracontinental when used at the Yuzmash defense plant in the Ukraine. The aftermath was described as nothing left but dust. This is a device that comes out of the sky. It's a 4,000-degree meteorite, as described by Putin. The multi-warhead kinetic rain of fire from above, the concerted energy of the kinetic weapon traveling at least I've heard, higher than the 10 Mach 10 is Mach 12. It's able to atomize anything in the epicenter of Hazel's destination. Like Etna, though, you don't want to open Hazel's can of whoop-ass at home alone. But the U.S. keeps poking the bear, and China and Iran, without any right whatsoever, I must add, if that is a lingering question to anybody, while even the Houthis are able to threaten our newest aircraft carriers, the procurement at immense cost to those weapons, with relatively inexpensive hypersonic weapons themselves. Now, they're getting those from Iran, or they're making them from Iran designs, but they have them. And so these military expenditures the United States makes combined are more than the next nine countries that have expenditures. Combined next nine underneath the United States, and the United States still spends more. But, you know, our $14,000 hinged ass gasket holders on our porcelain thrones are super comfortable while we drink cafe lattes out of $1,200 cups, as stated by United States Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa in 2018. But that $500 hammer rings real good as our sailors hit the hull, telling their comrades where they are in the half-sinking hull of the boat that the hypersonic missile just destroyed. So we're all ready now, folks. See, all this inadequate military procurement and mismanagement, or the bureaucratic processes, it is said, they all suffer under, will not be a defense when considered under a failed national security excuse, defeated by these sandal-wearing brown people, let alone a peer country. And as I think about that peer country, it seems the Houthis may have raised their peerage a bit here relative to technology, and more so morally, as they surpass America. You see, there's nothing to make another genocide great again. Nothing to be exalted at all. And now we come to today. The U.S. military is saying all that prior money didn't adequately fund protecting the nation. But we want more to build weapons to attack other nations for national security, of course. And with all this cost, supporting of military and government more focused on profit-making illusions and projections than protection, look at the condition of America today. But you know, I mean, Trump, because Trump. And all the while, we the people are failing to notice that Trump 2.0 is looking a lot worse than Trump 1.0. When you know. Trump appears at this point to be a ringer to make the economy look great again, all the while the infrastructure is put in place to destroy Americans when the Messiah and his neo-clown Zio-siples here leave the stage. Understand the temporariness of his appearance. And as I now the more renowned here, Mark Andreessen, when you read his stuff, talking about this now, bringing that right into the fold here. He summarizes from his meetings, those conversations, those private conversations on this very plan against you. This is already completed, but for the modernization implementation, I've told you about what modernization does. You had the Smith Modernization Act, didn't you? And Excited just wrote a bill to try and get that thing repealed and out of here. We don't need these modernization bills. They do this stuff. Article goes on, despite kicking off nuclear arms modernization, the U.S. is still struggling to catch up with Russia and China, according to Dmitry Stefanovich of the Moscow-based Institute of World Economy and International Relations with the Russian Academy of Sciences. Quote, throughout the 1990s and 2000s, the U.S. had been engaged in everything but the development and production of nuclear munitions. And, accordingly, to resume the process now is a very, very difficult task, which they are accomplishing at huge, huge, huge costs and with a significant disruption of deadlines. So huge, folks. Huge costs. Deception is hard, folks, and it's expensive. That's what I can see here. Article goes on to say, by contrast, Russia and China never stopped developing their respective nuclear and strategic missiles programs, he continues. If the U.S. starts a nuclear race in earnest, the Russians and Chinese would be capable of immediately ramping up production. Not R&D here, folks, but production. Just like Putin just did with the Hazel. They can ramp up production, not just looking at it, looking at the drawings, thinking about it. The potential arms race would put a burden on the United States economy, according to the experts. And that's the plan, folks, right there. But who profits? Trust the plan, folks. And Peacekeeper Trump will do it, too. See, he's a strong guy. Peace through strength, don't you know? Even if that strength is an illusion that the Houthis and the rest of the world have figured it out, have been getting to figure out. Now, all the messiahs need his support at home, and he's got it as well. As I said, watch out how serious and dangerous this can be. But the U.S. already needs to build new nuclear weapons anyway and to try to extend the service life of the old ones. And in general, this is quite a difficult task. And already in the medium term, continuing to build up our maintaining the expanded arsenal will require huge resources. So while not a replacement for Oreshnik, Hazel shows nuclear weapons are not necessary with the right technology, and Hazel doesn't violate the nuclear weapons laws either in implementing her somewhere. And Hazel's quite impressive, seeing it pasting a place. You see that little short video they showed. We've never seen anything like it. At least I haven't. I know the low clouds in that video made the effect even more dramatic, but it added to the visual so you could actually see the darn thing traveling at Mach 10 as fast as Hazel tree nuts fall, or faster. The U.S. is behind over a decade to realize this technology, let alone adequately meet it. So we'll continue investing in what we know because nuclear is green, right? Yeah, big bucks for a big but useless and dirty bang is what we're going to be investing in. Why? To bring us economically low. On November 29th, Sputnik reviewed a report by the Russian think tank Roscongress Foundation that warned that the pace of U.S. nuclear weapons modernization is accelerating, meaning Washington has de facto launched an arms race against Russia and China. And all this at the time while the economy is going down. So see the part here that Trump plays in this? Make the economy great again, but you can't do that in the fiat system. Well, he thinks that the economy's great, it's actually going to be going into this arms race, this de facto arms race. And who's going to pay for this? You are, with your life. Whether through the extortion you pay in taxes, seen or unseen, called your civil rights equally under law. Read that here. Remember, I keep repeating this. Your civil rights is taxes, pains, punishments, etc. Go read that at 42 U.S.C. 1981. Or through degradation of the quality of your life living as it is brought into austerity, fed here to we the people as prosperity, as I've covered as well, or your physical existence will is in threat, whether fighting battles on the ground or being the recipient of a hypersonic nuclear strike that the national security imbeciles asked be rained down upon your head, or when it is found that the Zio neo-clown profiteers never had your interest in national security because nations are a thing of the past and cherry red buttons become play toys and you, the unchosen, are expendable, is where we are at this point. I hope people are paying attention. This is a BTWRLM 605. And this military-driven lunacy, knowing no bounds, as you heard behind the woodshed December of 2019, what was coming and subsequently proved by another admission here is the Dutch government official admits COVID pandemic was a military operation. Minister of Health obeys NATO. Very interesting. Took a little bit of looking at the video and listening to it a couple times to try and get it straightened up. This is a report that she's doing. The top Dutch government official has admitted that COVID was a military operation and revealed that her nation was taking orders from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, and ATO, during the pandemic. Dutch Health Minister Lor Agema has revealed that the military operation was led by NATO and the Netherlands, the National Coordinator for Security and Counterterrorism. The NCTV is a Dutch government agency that serves the country's national security. During a speech at the Dutch Parliament, Agema acknowledged in the Parliament that the Dutch pandemic policy is taking place, quote, under the direction of the National Coordinator for Security and Counterterrorism and Defense. She noted that the government responded to the pandemic by complying with NATO obligations. What could those be, folks? NATO obligations. In doing so, she confirmed the pandemic policy was a coup d'etat by the NCTV. Prominent Dutch doctor Els van Veen says that she finally understands what happened to her and other critical doctors during the corona crisis. Quote, it was a military operation. The Minister of Health obeys NATO and NCTV, Dr. Van Veen, said in a post on X. On Thursday, October 24th, Fleur Agema was the first health minister in parliamentary history to explain her actions by NATO obligations. And not once, but six times as a member of the Parliament Pepijn Van Hoolingen, FVD, did. 3-minute video in which Agema tells the chamber that the pandemic preparedness is related to treaty obligations and that the intelligence service NCTV is in charge went viral on X. Agema made her comments during a debate on resilience, and this is what I had to go back and re-listen for. You got to listen to why she's even talking about this thing, what report she's making relative to, I mean, why would she even come up with this stuff? Well, but it's part of something else, and she's explaining it so that everyone understands, and they're still subject to this military operation. It's now a treaty obligation. That hasn't been identified yet. They say, since the briefing, I have been with my minister taking stock of what we need to meet those NATO commitments, she said. We are doing that under the leadership of NCTV. A number of ministries are involved in this. Quote, I have asked if there is an overlap between pandemic preparedness and resilience of care, and there is. This is resilience of care is the national security interest. She added, you want to have the same tools as we would have had in a relation to the corona crisis. In a post on X, Wu researcher Cees van Denbos responded to the admission, arguing that the pandemic was a coup d'etat. He characterized the NCTV as a puppet of NATO. Quote, this country will only be free if the NCTV is completely abolished and these kinds of shadow governments never get a foothold again. Now listen to the consistency what's being talked about in the United States right now and around the world as people come to terms with this. Let's not lose the focus. This was a global military obligation, and everybody's tied together by a treaty obligation. He added that there is no control over NCTV. The NCTV has carte blanche, as has been shown during Corona. And let me offer again, it did, but because no one spoke up and said, but, there's a communicable disease law that you just can't run us over with. And this is everywhere around the world that has any kind of rule of law democracy. It's written, lots of you folks around the world sent me your stuff. It's everyone's finding it. So there's no excuse at this point, but it's being now exposed. As I said in 2019, this is going to be a Operation Hindsight 2020. A military op, and here it is, again, beyond the contracts that the Latapova researcher found, according to Van de Boes, people who think Corona is over, let's stop talking about it, are waiting for another hard reality check. He thanked Gemma for her candor. During the pandemic, NATO set the guidelines for the COVID response and coordinated the STRATCOM strategic communications. The guidelines were circulated through the member states' foreign ministers. Many believe this explains why Sweden, which only joined NATO this year, was the only country in Europe to adopt a more lenient policy during the pandemic. Earlier, the leader, Verheid Willem Engel, had made similar revelations. At his trial in Rotterdam on 22nd November 2022, in which he was accused of sedition, Engel gave extensive speech in which he showed how the government has worked to combat critics of the COVID policy. According to Engel, this involved agencies from four ministries, Justice, which is NCTV, Justice. What did I tell you about the courts of the judiciary in the United States? They're in on it. AIVD is the Interior Department there, their VMIVD, their Defense Department, and the PCD-19VWS. Quote, they formed a crisis team that worked together with other governmental agencies such as the OM, mayors, folks. See, it was all the way down into the local government, and yet there was a law to stop all of it, and the judiciary, and with the media. He reported in November 2022, they are using military methods that amount to mapping, suppressing, and disrupting. Critics from the medical world have meanwhile reacted sharply to Agema's revelations, including medical ethicist Wendy Mittenmeier. For the first time in 4 years, I hear a public admission that the NCTV was in charge during the Corona crisis and that it had to be carried out. It was a military operation. This is not allowed to be said for 4 years. That was a conspiracy theory. I appreciate the honesty of the minister that this is being admitted and that he was not in charge. Let me offer again, this wasn't really an admission. This was just an explanation. This stuff blows me away. This is what threw me for a while. What are they talking about here? And then what she says. No, this is just a report where she's explaining that they have to meet, as a government, they have to meet NATO obligations, but the obligations NATO's putting on them. The admission from Agema also supports allegations made by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about the production of the COVID mRNA vaccines in the U.S. According to Kennedy, this was a military operation with close involvement of the United States Department of Defense and the military-industrial complex. Said no one, months after I did, and no one before Latapova exposed the contracts. So let's be careful on how much credit we give to Kennedy that he's getting promoted here. Kennedy argues the DOD was in full charge of the paid pharmaceutical companies for their brand names so people would think they were getting something from Pfizer and Moderna is the Latapova research and contract disclosure. The minister openly stated that both COVID and the current pandemic preparedness, this is the phrase, pandemic preparedness, is a military operation that has nothing to do with the healthcare in the traditional sense of the word. COVID policy is a child of NCTV and NATO, Agema asserted. So it's a good thing that the United States of America, that the military held in strict subordination to the civil authority, so nothing could happen at warp speed here, right? right? So you can see the full video of the presentation, like 3 minutes or so, that explains that with the health minister explaining what she did is it simply obeys the military condition and standards, and they looking to, you know, everyone wants to think it's over. It's not. I keep telling you it's coming. They're still preparing to try and be able to meet what NATO's going to impose. But nobody cares about applying the law, which is, I find fascinating. Still till today, what I've explained for the United States and how easy it is to maintain an occupied territory that looks anything. But when you're looking at it, this is how they're doing it. This is an example of what I said before on that point. Oh, we live in a free country. Yeah, free the country, though. The government may be free, but you're not. And the occupation happened in Lincoln's time, right? I hope you say right. And I keep suggesting to you, because of this consistency, what happens and goes on over there is happening to you right here in the land of the fee and the home of the slave. And then I have another link here that is a larger picture, larger video, and so you can see more of the captions that were written in English for us non-American speaking people that speak English still, even though we're so independent. It's just interesting. To me, this week, as I told you, that would happen, all this stuff would be coming out over years relative to the great COVID swindle that happened at warp speed and is not the only thing, though, that's causing health problems. Those can come at the speed of an ag cat pesticide spray plane. As we read, Sputnik investigates, why does U.S. ban the use of atrazine? We're talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., what he's going to do? Well, it may be one of these things he's going to have to look at. Listen here to the harms. Compare these to the jab that I'm going to read here and delivered at warp speed. And how do you tell them apart? More harm, more expensive tests, if they'll even look? Is that what we're going to have to do? Is that what happens to us? If you didn't get the jab but think you are suffering from shedding or something like that, maybe it's something more like this atrazine made by Syngenta. While reading the article, I had a thought. Maybe I should just read the article at this point. Just for right now, just to get through it. The herbicide atrazine, widely used in agricultural crops in the U.S., Canada, and Australia, was banned in the European Union in 2004 after it was found to surpass the regulatory limits of pesticides in groundwater. It has also been banned in over 40 countries. Sputnik investigates why the U.S. is in no hurry to follow suit. Registered initially in 1958 as Aceba geigi, atrazine has been a major agricultural herbicide in the United States for more than 30 years. Manufactured by Swiss-based agrochemical giant Syngenta, it is a chlorinated triazine systemic herbicide. Pesticide products containing atrazine are registered for use on field corn, sweet corn, sorghum, and sugarcane, wheat, macadamia nuts, and guava, as well as non-agricultural uses such as nursery ornamental and turf, around 40 million pounds or over 36 million kilograms of atrazine are applied annually in the United States. What's wrong with atrazine? The compound's chemical properties make it susceptible to leaching and runoff, especially during heavy rains, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. Atrazine lingers in the soil for months or years in some types of soil, and can reach groundwater through runoff. Research carried out by the German scientists and published in Springer Nature in 2010 showed. A study published in 2014 in the journal Water Research found that in Germany, quote, even 20 years after the ban of atrazine, the groundwater concentrations of sampled observational wells remain at a level close to the threshold value of one-tenth of a microgram per liter without any considerable decrease. Around 30 million Americans in 28 states have some level of atrazine in their drinking water, reported by the Environmental Working Group, revealed in 2018. Is it dangerous to humans, you animals? Well, the short answer is yes. Atrazine ATR has caused tumors, breast, ovarian, and uterine cancers, as well as leukemia and lymphoma, study from Kentucky counties in 1997, published in publishing in Chinese Research, featured in Science Direct in 2023, revealed there was a statistically significant increase in breast cancer risk with the medium and high levels of triazine exposure. Researchers at the University of Kentucky College of Medicine concluded in 1997. Atrazine can increase proliferation rate of prostate tumor cells, according to research featured in Science Direct in 2023. And just an interjection, I've been amazed at how much prostate tumor problems that there are in this country. I don't know about anywhere else, but I sure hear lots of stories about this problem. And when I read that, I go, I wonder. You know, you just have to wonder, but how can you tell, especially now? Atrazine, just going to have to do the tests, I guess, suppose. That's the thing that Western medicine's good for. Might as well use them to their best advantage for you. Atrazine exposure causes birth defects, including choanal atresia, stenosis, gastroschisis, and more. U.S. researchers found that the higher county levels of atrazine were associated with infant diagnosis of gastroschisis, a rare birth defect where an opening in the newborn's abdomen wall causes the intestines to spill outside the body. That was according to a JAMA Network article published in 2024. Children of mothers with high levels of exposure of atrazine had nearly a twofold increase in risk of choanal atresia and stenosis, which leads to life-threatening respiratory symptoms, said Texas study published by the National Liberty of Medicine in 2014. Life-threatening respiratory symptoms. The great Covey swindle? Again, remember the comorbidities built in. It took advantage of all those. Endocrine disruption, the interrupting regular hormone function, irregular estrogen levels in menstrual cycles, decreased sperm count in men, abnormal birth weight, and unexplained infertility are all linked to the compound as substantiated by internal studies, findings of which were laid out in the International Journal of Ecosystems in 2011 in the paper by Kyrgyzstan's Bureau of Reproductive and Child Health. Atrazine may cause renal failure. Are you keeping a track of these folks? If you haven't turned this thing off, I'm reading this for a reason. Have you listened to the symptoms this atrazine causes and then now compare them to the warp speed attack? Can you tell the difference? Well, there's a few, but not many. And this is what I was telling you. They hide stuff right in plain sight, and you're not going to get at it. U.S. research titled Pesticide Use and Risk of End-Stage Renal Disease Among Licensed Pesticide Applicators in Agricultural Health Studies, published by the National Library of Medicine in 2016. Neurotoxic effects of atrazine align with pathological characteristics in Parkinson's disease, and studies support a strong evidence these base that low concentration of ATZ exposure during development can elicit increased risk of neurodegeneration. A January 2024 study published in Scientific Direct showed. This is 2024, when was the great Covey swindle warp speed attack? 4 years before that. You're starting to see maybe here what's happening? I'm not dismissing what's happening with atrazine, but I told you, they start pumping the record full of stuff that you can't tell the difference, and all of a sudden the byproducts of the bioweapons attack goes away. There's no way to distinguish it. Despite the overwhelming science linking atrazine to use to severe illness, the U.S. EPA reapproved atrazine in 2020 for another 15 years. The International Agency of Research on Cancer has determined that atrazine is not classifiable as it is to its carcinogenicity to humans, allowing its continued use with new requirements. Why was it reapproved and who lobbied for atrazine? The United States Department of Agriculture openly acknowledges in a September 1994 economic research report that banning atrazine would impose costs on farmers and consumers ranging between $517 million and $667 million as they send billions to Ukraine to kill off the Ukrainians. But that's the cost. U.S. agrochemical giant Monsanto, acquired by Germany's Bayer in 2018, also had a finger in the pie. While not a primary manufacturer of atrazine, its flagship product, Roundup, contained a toxic weed killer ingredient, glyphosate. Monsanto invested $4.6 million to influence agricultural policy and pesticide regulation in 2016 per the nonprofit Open Secrets. And this is where they're taking advantage of we the people who have everything better to do, like go to work and feed our families. This is what this system has allowed. Monsanto coordinated its lobbying strategies at the national, EU, and international levels with atrazine maker Syngenta, according to the Corporate Europe Observatory CEO. Ex-Monsanto staff got powerful positions in government while scientists were paid to act as mouthpieces, CEO claimed. During the U.S. EPA review of atrazine in 2003, industry lobbyists reportedly participated in numerous closed-door meetings with the EPA regulators. Not much different than we just will hear as you get the link to what Mark Andreessen said about your coming future and how they're going to control it. The American Farm Bureau Federation is intertwined financially with large agribusiness corporations. Its insurance affiliates have bought stock in companies like the U.S. multinational food corporation Cargill. The Nation wrote in 2012, Cargill Incorporated has spent $1,060,000 lobbying in 2024. And if you listen to Mark Andreessen, insurance is going to be another critical thing, that if you're a PEP, you just won't be able to get it. You're not going to be able to do this stuff. You're not going to be able to operate as they monopolize from internally, another style of deep state. Farm groups, including the American Farm Bureau Federation, National Corn Growers Association, Agricultural Retailers Association, along with state farm bureaus and grower groups, and the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, filed complaints with the EPA in 2022, urging to refrain from restricting the use of atrazine. They argued that this would prove devastating for hundreds of thousands of American agricultural producers. From 2005 to it's all about profit, right, folks? You got that? Corporate business, that's what the government protects. From 2005 to 2010, 10 leading agribusiness interests spent $127 million lobbying Congress and federal agencies, yielding 159 lobbyists in 2010, with Monsanto and the American Farm Bureau leading the pack, a report by the Environment Maryland in 2012 show. Okay, enough on this. They go through this issue. It's EPA tethered the interests of the pesticide industry and has since recalculated the level of concern of atrazine to 9.7. Remember, Germany's looking at 0.1 microgram per liter, measured as a 60-day average. July to 2024, following the peer review, its cumulative health risk assessment on atrazine found no risks of concern when evaluating all dietary exposure sources, including drinking water. That little including drinking water was all they looked at. There were no dietary sources. At any rate, I read a lot here, the whole article. I want it on the record. I want you to know about it. These are the things that are sitting in our life that do. They create the symptoms that we are seeing that the industry, the pharma, utilizes to hide what it's doing to us. So, again, reading the article, and because of the companies lie about their actual findings, and as with Roundup, they lie about the persistence in the environment, which Monsanto asserted is not at all present, that and relative to the experience in Germany, a persistent poison despite atrazine being banned 20 years prior, that it might be a good idea, notwithstanding the corporate lobbying to poison your world, is to go back and add in these legislations, get someone to put in that if a man-made chemical is found in any significance and prior to being harmful, without regard to classification, such as carcinogenicity, I'll get it. or solely so, if you will, here on that. There's quite a few of these that come in, but this is the one that was named inside the article. Or there's other impediments that they would bring up, in particular where the company lobbies for some exonerating classification device or legalism whatsoever, that it shall not be further made, sold, or traded, whether domestically or in foreign markets. That was another aspect of this whole thing. That way here, not much different than maybe repealing the Smith-Mutz Act. The people have an automatic check and balance, and the company is incentivized to consider the commercial lifespan by proper application. In other words, there's not that runoff problem. So whether the company lies about its actual condition in the environment or can't manage its groundwater poisoning contribution, there still would be in legislation an absolute limit. And we get away from them going in and lobbying Congress for adjusting the limit. Again, if we want to start using that precautionary principle as a guidance, I think this is one of those things to do that. And one of the evidences, though it's not binding on America, would be that Europe did ban it and has found, like Germany did, a threshold still maintaining itself after 20 years is just underneath what they consider to be a poison. And look at all the problems. I can't see that farmers who are growing food for people would want them to be harmed in other ways. It doesn't make any sense to me, except maybe people are focused on the profit again. Now, something else we suffer, is a little bit different than health, is but it's going to work its way through as well. Again, all this stuff ends up being interlocked on where they move things forward. You just suffered the worst telecom hack in history, says the senator. And suffer we will, I suppose. Hackers allegedly exploited systems set up by the U.S. authorities to wiretap Americans. As we consider who the real culprits here and who's doing the complaining and maybe why. National security advisors and other senior officials from the outgoing administration of U.S. President Joe Biden held a meeting with top executives from the major telecommunication companies on Friday to discuss what is being described as by far the worst breach in the country's history. Now, listen very closely to this, my home of the freely and bravely duped. Listen carefully. I mean, really carefully. Earlier this month, U.S. authorities accused alleged Beijing-linked hacking group Salt Typhoon of intercepting surveillance data gathered and stored by the telecoms for American law enforcement agencies. The perpetrators allegedly intercepted text messages and audio from an unknown number of calls during a large-scale operation that lasted 4 months. Do you need to hear anything else to understand the open-air prison you live in? That the wardens monitor and save every conversation you have, and that it can be hacked. Now, don't shrug your shoulders and say, oh, I knew that. That's a cop-out response. Acknowledge you've been duped. You believe and do nothing against the being duped. And you believe that you are free and brave all at the same time, even if you want to try and deny it. Otherwise, I think if you have right mind, you'd be moving somewhere. So that's what my problem starts to be. We've been protecting against this. The people I work with, we've been trying to protect against this. We know this, right? We all know this. What are we going to start to do now that it's coming out? They want to blame it on a hack, and China done it. And we talked, and Snowjob Snowden brought it out and told us they can make it look like anybody done it. And they're the ones, the United States is the ones doing it. So we've got to take responsibility enough to ask with the intention to follow through, what am I going to do about this prison I'm living in? Senator Mark Warner, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, called the breach the worst telecom hack in our nation's history following the hearing this week. The barn door is still wide open or mostly open. Remember, this is conversations all y'all are having that they're copying and they're storing and they're building this dossier on every one of us. On Friday, National Security Advisor, what did I talk about earlier in the broadcast? Mark Andreessen saying, yeah, that system's in place and this is what they're going to be using. Okay, this is not just some off-the-cuff story. These are all integrated, and they mean something. In February, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Deputy National Security Advisor Ann Neuberger hosted a meeting with the telecommunications industry at the White House, though it is unclear who exactly was present. So, this is the same guy, the Sullivan, that's justifying genocide, all right? This is who the type of people you're dealing with. So your wardens aren't telling you who was in that open-air prison staff meeting, but who were the ostensible targets this time? Well, specifically, we have identified the PRC-affiliated actors have compromised networks at multiple telecommunications companies to enable the theft of customer call records, the compromise of private communications of a limited number of individuals primarily involved in government or political activity, and the complying of certain information that was a subject to U.S. law enforcement requests pursuant to court orders, they wrote. Didn't Mark Andreessen say PEP? PEPs, that's who you is, that's who they control. It is the government and the fascist handlers that are under scrutiny for their corruption, it seems I'm hearing there, in running this joint. Individuals primarily involved in government or political activity, or just wrong think, that's political activity enough for them. So, are those in the FBI considered trying to interfere with elections doing political activity? My little pea brain asked at that point. An unnamed advisor to the campaign of President-elect Donald Trump is also said to be among those whose conversations were intercepted, according to a report last month by the Washington Post. It remains unclear whether the advisor's information was also subject to the U.S. law enforcement requests. In 2016, the FBI used the fabricated Steele dossier to obtain court permission to spy on Trump's campaign and undermine his presidency, to show you how feckless the U.S. judiciary is all about and how they're not standing in the gap at all. So you think the FBI was represented in that closed meeting as well? Maybe to figure out what information was hacked and how to do the cat box cover-up, if that data is ever made public, or worse, used secretly to compromise the national security prison state, which started with naming China as the culprit. Always over there, folks, never inside. The FBI and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, issued a joint statement on November 13th blaming the intrusion on China, one finger pointing out, his three fingers pointing back, and admitting that the stolen information had been gathered and stored as part of legal surveillance of American suspects. We found out they can just be doing an investigation under national security, and since the PIROTI Act, you're all criminals. And so I see no limitation in that statement. And looking from afar, back on us, Russia's Zakharova mocks U.S. justice system after DOJ drops criminal charges against Trump. The Department of Justice, the DOJ decision to settle all federal offenses out of court against United States President-elect Donald Trump demonstrates the, quote, amazing cyclical nature, close quote, of U.S. justice, Russia's foreign minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said. I guess she hasn't heard of the term just us. Because you have figured it out, right? Democratic justice has an amazing cyclical nature. Every 4 years, it demonstrates absolute impartiality, first before the election and then immediately after, with two completely different results. This is what U.S. democracy is all about, Zakharova has said on Telegram. Well, apparently, doesn't understand about the Republic. And neither do we, the people, because this stuff is what we were obligated to stop. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith has earlier asked the District Court of the District of Columbia to dismiss the case against Trump regarding his alleged role in the Capitol riot in 2021. This makes Trump the first U.S. president-elect into whom probes have been launched and against whom a verdict has been returned. My thoughts are for the J6 as well. Still in prison for the most part, as I understand. This is showing out government, the foreigners, the foreign people, the other nations looking in, United States Department laughingstock of injustice is right for everyone to see, not being hidden anymore. The Electoral College will vote in accordance with the will of the voters on December 7th. Hear this? Your vote during that election wasn't enough in the Republic. This ain't a democracy. And the new Congress will approve the results of the vote on January 6th. Sound familiar? Trump gets off and the rest of them still bake in the ovens there, in the cages. Presidential inauguration will take place on January the 20th. And I hear before that happens, there's going to be a lot of resignations coming out of the government. The rats start to leave the ship, folks. And on that Just Us note, from the I don't do anything wrong, so don't have anything to worry about department, Canadian journalist faces persecution for branding Nazis as Nazis, denies allegations. The journalist Duncan Kinney is being charged with mischief relating to war memorials and may face up to 10 years in prison as a result, the Maple reports. The alleged act of vandalism took place in August of 2021. In October 2022, Kinney was also arrested for allegedly spraying the words actual Nazi on the statue of an infamous World War II Ukrainian Nazi collaborator, Roman Chukhevich. Kinney himself, however, denies being responsible for either of these incidents and insists that they are merely attempts by Edmonton Police Service to intimidate him, the media outlet notes, pointing out that the journalist is actually a prominent critic of the Edmonton Police. For all you auditors out there, not a threat, just a fact. It's international, this tactic. In 2020, a similar incident occurred in Oakville, Ontario, where someone spray-painted the phrase Nazi War Monument on another cenotaph honoring members of the 4th Waffen SS Division. The incident was investigated by Ontario police as a hate crime, the Ottawa Citizen reported at the time. So being innocent until proven guilty, I don't do nothing wrong, so don't have nothing to worry about. You don't have to have done anything wrong for some government miscreant to make something up. Because the prosecutor will be right there to fix that ham sandwich that done it and get the conviction. So here, getting blame for the graffiti of someone else because you are under their corruption and you're on their list is not much different than Mark Andreessen says about being person that gets on the government list and will be contained and controlled within the new system. So we can see here again, political lawfare is nothing new to we the people, even in the fair monocracy of Kanukistan. And with that, we get the week wrap-up here, succinctly stated by DD Geopolitics. As I ran across it on Telegram, I think. I don't use Telegram, but came across it. A pretty hectic few weeks for the U.S. Empire. Must be exhausting trying to start a nuclear war, organizing terrorists in Syria, staging a coup in Georgia, pretending to broker a ceasefire in Lebanon, slaughtering more people in Gaza, and threatening anyone who dares consider arresting Netanyahu, and shamelessly lobbying to use Ukrainian teenagers as cannon fodder. I thought that was a nice wrap-up. Better than I do. Better than I even think to do. I'm not wired actually that way, so I'm glad to see that. All that news wrapped up in a second. I guess I could have ended the broadcast right there 5 minutes after I started and let you go do all the research. Except that'd be no fun, and I think people miss a lot. So I'm tying a lot together here. Again, leading with Mark Andreessen, and you saw tabs coming through. The news today showing point after point. But what you'll see in those little, even the shorts, not even the 3 hour, you're going to see, or you should be, I hope you see, what I've tied together for y'all as the notice is given to us week by week on the consistency of how these stories, this information comes at us. And someone that does need to be arrested, if it's not that journalist for being blamed for someone else's work just because he's gotten on the Bureau Rat's hate list, Macron grants Saint Yehu immunity from ICC warrant for role in Lebanon ceasefire talks. Yeah, this talks. Interesting how this plays out. Quote, this was the price France had to pay for participation in the agreement on Lebanon. For Paris to be able to play its role in this, Emmanuel Macron had to take three steps back through his foreign minister by talking about diplomatic immunity, an Israeli source told the news outlet. The ICC issued arrest warrants for Saint Yehu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant on November 21st, citing war crimes committed in the Gaza Strip is the subject we're talking. The French foreign minister announced on Wednesday that France would not be able to execute the ICC arrest warrant against Saint Yehu because he had immunity as a head of state that was not part of the ICC Rome Statute. And I want you to think very clearly and seriously about this, what the United States Supreme Court just gave to the president here. And you have people that are war criminals and they're immune. It's just us, not justice. The Point reported that the two leaders agreed on a ceasefire details during that conversation. Saint Yehu promised to, quote, give France, along with the United States, an important role in the committee to monitor the implementation of UN Resolution 1701, which was part of the agreement, they said. But listen to how this all works. It sounds a bit incestuous, don't it? Why doesn't the UN decide from non-allied participants, these monitoring nations? Only shows the fecklessness tool the UN is to the West. And who is this demon Saint Yehu to dictate who and who will not be at the table? The article says that Belgium and the Netherlands, Ireland, and others pledged to abide by the ruling. That just seemed to be a bunch of virtue signaling, as we now have come to know. It's likely Saint Yehu will not visit those places, so those nations get to look like they're complying with the arrest warrant. But whether or not they would, if pressed for the truth of whether to support genocide or not. Israel's Security Cabinet approved the U.S. brokered agreement with Lebanon on Tuesday night. So now the United States is involved in a place that they are supporting the one committing the genocide. Saint Yehu explained that the ceasefire was needed to focus on the alleged Iranian threat and isolate Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So there is your focus, actually, Iran. He emphasized that Israel would resume hostilities if Lebanon's Hezbollah violated the truce, which Israel did upon its own violation, blaming Hezbollah 6 hours later, as it was widely reported. And I'm told by Gary L. on an ex-Twitter post, 6 hours has a Kabbalistic pertinence to it. In any regard, Israel also violated the monitor's duties and obligations of the ceasefire agreement. And then that starts to make me think that the whole thing, as we might consider, is a ruse. And likely France is a player or a dupe. Because certainly the United States should not be a monitor over the funding of genocide. But because the demented Biden regime is perpetually on record as not being able to see and evidence anything, I suppose it's the greatest witness that can be put on there, right? Oh, got no evidence. In particular here, these war crimes and genocide, or more particularly the genocide or causes in supporting the Zaire regime's annihilation pogrom, though obligated to stop it. I don't understand how this is not a big conundrum for people. How this has all been played out, that anybody thinks this was a legitimate ceasefire condition situation that didn't actually, isn't part of a different plan that I think we're hearing now happening in Syria. So this is not going to get any easier. It's likely going to get worse with the undue Zio influence at home up around Trump's cabinet, I would say. Don't you think Trump are even paying attention to this? I kind of doubt it. But remember, the watch phrase to look for occurring right now and moving through is government-created corporate monopoly. So this is what, if you look at these countries as that, and what they're doing, the games they're playing in the open world field, you start to see this correlation going on. It's like not even a new plan that they're putting out. It's just an implementation of the continuing plan. But, this government-created corporate monopoly that Mark Andreessen points out in those video shorts of his interview on the Joe Rogan Experience and the next government transformational control iteration against you is all integrated in all of this stuff. Is really insidious stuff, and I've been warning you about it. This gives us a bit further explanation that he does, Mark Andreessen does, in working how the implementation works out. Because they know you better than you know yourself. And they exploit every bit of your vulnerabilities. This has been BTW RLM 605, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.